You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solano, we greet you here today on this Wednesday. Hey, it's hump day already. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. We would love to see you here at church tonight. One of our members, Bill Steinbrook, is teaching a class here on Wednesdays of evangelism, or I should say on evangelism. How we can always be ready to give a defense for the reason, for the hope that is in us, as Peter wrote. So this is the third out of 3 weeks for that. I invite you guys here tonight. We would love to see you 6 o'clock tonight. You also can join us online on our Facebook page. That'll turn on live at 6 o'clock here tonight. So we would love to see you for that. The following week, we'll be back through teaching the Word of God verse by verse, and my associate pastor, Darren Solano, is heading that up here. He will be starting a brand new book, 2 Thessalonians, the following Wednesday. On Sundays, we're going through the book of Acts, and that's where we're at. Here now on the radio, we're in the book of Revelation. Here today, we're looking at the Lamb opens the seals. So we're looking at these seven seal judgments. We're looking at what happens here on earth as the Lamb of God loosens the seals on this title deed to planet Earth. Let's call it that. Okay, this is part one of this message. Love to see you tonight. Part two will air tomorrow. Then you'll hear my sermon from this past week here at the end of the week. We'll hear the book of Acts, chapter 18.
Okay. Revelation chapter 6. Now, we left off looking at the four horsemen of the apocalypse and the opening of the first four of the seven seals. Let's pray first before we get started. Lord, we exalt you here again in the house this morning. That's what we're here for. We're here to worship you. Everything else is secondary to worshiping you for who you are, what you've done, and your son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place on the cross, so that you would reconcile us back to you. We thank you for the atonement. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We return to give you glory for what you've done. May we serve you continually all the rest of our days. Lord, we ask for your blessings now here on this word. Bless this message as it goes out. We listen for your voice. There's 65 people here. Speak 65 different things to 65 different people. Do an awesome work here now this morning, Lord, through your word. We listen for your voice. Help us to be doers of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're in chapter 6. Now remember where we left off last week. For those of you visiting or here for the first time, we're going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. And we're in chapter 6. So if you remember where we left off, with the releasing of the seven seals on a document, like sliding a letter opener inside an envelope in order to see what's inside. Once the tribulation starts, we see a supernatural angel, most likely, riding on a white horse. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, he says, "I looked and behold a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Now here's a few more examples of angelic beings killing people here on earth. Let me read these verses to you. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 15. "So the Lord sent a plague from Israel, the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time. From Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died. And when the angel stretched out his hand over Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, he said, "It is enough. Now restrain your hand." All right, so these angels have incredible power and supernatural power. And this, Revelation chapter 9, verse 15, which we're going to get to here in about a week or two. It says, "Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, 'Release the Kraken.'" Might as well have been. You could only wish it was a Kraken. "Release the four angels bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for this hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Oh, you could only wish this was Sigmund the sea monster. It's going to be a lot worse than that. My advice to you, don't go swimming in the Euphrates River. Try the Banana River. But then again, if you knew the water, even these fishermen won't eat any fish that come out of there. But that's a whole other story in its own right. See and understand that angels are the ones that are carrying out God's plan here during the tribulation. Many times. And these times here at the end of the age. Now, the second rider stole the superficial peace that unbelievers had on planet Earth. Because it's superficial. It's false. It doesn't ever last. If your peace does not come from him, from the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, then your peace will never last. 401k peace is not peace at all, and it won't ever last. There is no such thing as a nest egg during this time. No such thing. That's why I say invest it now in the kingdom while you can. The Lord Jesus said to lay up treasures for yourself up in heaven, where no moth or rust or government can corrupt or steal. Now the third rider brought famine everywhere. Taken along with Revelation chapter 11, we say the earth will endure 3.5 years with no rain, which will be blamed on all the climate change deniers, which in some places already brings jail today in this age, if you deny that. We'll see what it brings then. Don't think that's too far-fetched. There's a man running for president right now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who already today suggests jail for anyone who denies that. Anyone who denies man-made climate change, he wants to put in jail. Now that he's running for president, you might not hear him say that anymore. But look it up. He's on record for saying that. Imagine 3.5 years with no rain. Now the fourth rider brought death, and Hades followed him along like a faithful dog. Now let's pick it up here this morning in verse 9. And we'll now see the fifth seal loosed by the Son of God, a.k.a. here, the Lamb of God. The heading over these verses in my New King James Bible, the cry of the martyrs. Now, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord? Holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those that dwell on the earth. Now, from King David all the way to the Apostle John, they are still crying out the same old thing today. How long, O Lord? David wrote in the book of Psalms, he says, "My soul is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long?" Psalm 6:3. Or Psalm 13, verse 1, he says, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Verse 2, How long shall I take counsel in my soul? Meaning, he's asking himself this question under his breath. How long do I have to ask my soul? Why? How much longer do I have to wait? Having sorrow in my heart daily, he says. How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How much longer, Lord, are you going to allow all this evil here on planet Earth? How much longer? Psalm 35:17. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue me from their destructions, my precious life from the lions. And here now, the martyrs for the Lord Jesus ask the same question. How long will you look on? Now, in this case, unlike ours, they actually get an answer to their inquiry. It says, then a white robe was given to each of them. You know, I contemplated something this morning, almost made me throw my whole sermon out. And that is, how does a soul wear a robe? I'm like, uh-oh, no, I don't have time to go there this morning. He saw the souls under the altar, but then it was given to them a robe. How does a soul wear a robe? Again, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. You know, sometimes we just got to go with what we know here. The Bible calls them souls, but this I know, that these guys were slain on account of this. Here, coming up at the end of the age, any day, week, month, or year, the people that they see up in heaven are killed because they followed this book. They were slain for the word of God. This was it. They were killed because they believed God. They were killed because perhaps they carried a Bible with them. Scary thought. Just as soon as we look at what's going on in Israel and understand a time is coming where God's going to resume his plan with them, when that time comes, people are going to be killed for having a Bible with them as well. And number two, it says that they were slain because of the testimony that they held, which was what? One down on the Bible, the other one up. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord. Any day now, what do I mean any day? Look around the world. It's just only because that was one of Bill Steinberg's favorite sayings. You know, just because it's not going on here doesn't mean it's not happening. Look what happens today. If you say that you're Jewish, look what happens to you today. So, they were slain for the word of God, and they were slain for the testimony that they held. You know, I read this article the other day in an English newspaper called The Guardian. That's what the name of the paper is. The story was entitled, Mike Johnson, Theocrat, and His Plot Against America. Now, Mike Johnson is the new Speaker of the House in Congress. And he had the unmitigated audacity to answer when they asked him what his worldview was. He said, and I quote, take your Bible off the shelf and read it. This is my worldview, unquote. And this, according to the biggest newspaper in England, was his plot against America, that he believes God. You see, we're coming in this time now. Now we can see this happening now. The plot against America is believing God. That's what they're saying in England. That's what they're saying in England. Now, at the end of the age, coming up very soon, holding to a biblical worldview will get your soul underneath the altar too. Who knows? Maybe this was talking about you. He saw this in the future. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you that he saw. He was transported into the future. He saw someone's soul under the altar. Maybe it was you. Do you trust the word of God and believe in the word? Do you hold to the word of God? And is the testimony out of your lips? Bring forth what thou wilt, like Polycarp said. 61 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt, Smedley. Maybe it's my soul that's under there. I don't know. So, at the loosing of the fifth seal, notice this. We only see the reaction to the opening of the seal, not what happened on the earth. We don't see what happened on the earth. We only see the reaction. Also, this addresses the question, what happens to us when we die? Soul sleep or heaven? Well, this here is the proof text for heaven. So are these texts. Philippians 1:21, it says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. 2 Corinthians 5:5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. For this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Greek word arabon. Arabon means engagement ring. What an awesome scripture that is. God has given you the Holy Spirit as an engagement ring. It's a down payment. That's why some translations say earnest. It's a guarantee and a down payment of what's to come. That's good news. When you cross this finish line in faith, like Ron Howard did yesterday, eye is not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee. He seals us. We'll get to that here coming up too. Now again, I'm reading 2 Corinthians 5:5. It says, he who's prepared us for this very thing is God, and has given us the Spirit as an arabon, guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing while we were at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But we are confident, yes, we're well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Meaning, in the meantime, let's go out and let's do his work here while we can. While we're alive, while there's breath in our lungs, let's go out here and do his work until either he returns or we leave this world. But hopefully this answers the question. Die and leave this world, then the angels will come and escort your spirit to be with him as they did yesterday with Ron. Until the day you receive a permanent new body. Let me read those verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to do more study on this, read 1 Corinthians 15. That's the go-to chapter to understand more about a new, permanent, resurrected body. Let me just read three verses to you. You don't need to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. Notice how many times he says it is raised. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, I didn't think this had happened to those guys up in heaven yet that we saw. I don't think this has happened yet. Certainly it hasn't happened yet because we're still alive. And we await that day. And until that day, your spirit is going to continue somewhere, either up or down. It's your choice. But there is no soul sleep. You just don't wink out or go to sleep when you die and leave this world. Either the angels are going to come and escort your spirit, and you're going to go up, and you're going to be with him. Or if you say no to him and reject him, then your spirit will go down and await judgment. It's your decision here today. It's your choice to make. It's your decision to make where you're going to spend eternity. Now, let's move on to this sixth seal, verse 12. I saw when he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth like a fig tree casting its untimely figs, being shaken by the wind. All right, stars meaning any celestial body, large or small, be it asteroid or meteor shower. Sorry, atheists, that's not your proof text. The Bible's not true. No one understands, too, that this is the end. The key to understanding this book is John sees a vision all the way through to the end. Then he sees another vision. He's not going in chronological order. He sees a vision from start to finish. Then he moves on to another vision from start to finish. Now here I want to look at the opening of this seal from ground level instead of from up above. So let's go. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and pick it up in verse 29. Matthew 24:29. It says, immediately after, look at those first four words. Immediately after the tribulation. Not before. This is after. This is the same thing we just looked at, but we're listening to the Lord teach this on the ground. We just looked at it from up in heaven. Now we're going to hear it from the ground. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. We just read all this, didn't we? The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. So notice all the similarities. Look what happens right after that. Verse 30, keep reading. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will wail. Hey, wait a minute. We read that too. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. You see, you saw the end of the world in chapter 1. He sees a vision all the way through to the end and then goes to another vision. Don't be deceived in trying to understand this book. He's not going in order from 1 to 22. He sees the end of the world in chapters 1, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 14, chapter 13. He sees the vision through and then he moves on. But he's saying the same thing John said in Revelation 1, 7. That when everyone sees them, everyone on the earth is not going to rejoice. Everyone's going to wail because they guessed wrong. They're going to wail when they look down and see what's on their hand. They were deceived by the government. They were deceived by the government and did what the government told them in order to buy or sell. They were deceived by the government. Boy, they're going to have a fun time with this one on the radio. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will wail or mourn. Greek word kolpos. Means to beat one's breast in anguish. Certainly is not going to be my response when he comes back. How about yours? All the earth will wail, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Wow, now there's your rapture and your resurrection. At the end of the age and on the last day. Now, not me. I'm just preaching it. It's right up there. I just gave you book, chapter, and verse where the Bible tells you this happens at the end of the age, not before all of this happens. Now, back to Revelation chapter 6. Verse 14. What's required of you and I is to strive. That's the only answer I can give you. People want to argue about this for when this is. My encouragement to you is to strive. We discovered that how many years ago, Darren? 8 or 10? What's the answer? Strive. You don't know what to do. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. You don't know pre, mid. You don't get into all these arguments people get in. The answer to you is strive. Agonizo is the Greek word, where our word agony comes from. Like the Lord Jesus, when it says he agonized in prayer and his sweat became like drops of blood. That is the mentality you and I need to have to get through this stuff. And don't say, oh, that's not me. This stuff happens. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime. Read about all the Christians that got fed to the lions. What's required of you and I is to cross the finish line in faith. We need to strive. They asked the Lord, Lord, are there just a few people that are going to be saved? What did he say?
Yes.
He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said, strive to enter in through the straight gate. Narrow. Because broad is the way which leads to destruction. That's a whole nother text right there. But that's all that I know. Strive. That means make every effort. Be determined. To cross this finish line in faith. Now, again, verse 14. Then the sky was split like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the magnates and the high-ranking military men and the rich and the mighty and every slave and free man, they hid themselves in the caves and in the crags of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and crags, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? So, how's your worldview now, England? How's your worldview now? Anybody a theocrat yet? Better become a theocrat now. Before it's too late. Because if you don't become a theocrat now, which is God rules. If you don't become a theocrat now, then you'll be like everyone else that wails when he comes back. You can wail or rejoice when Jesus comes back. It's your choice and your decision. Choose this day whom you will serve.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.